As live feeders, reality TV junkies, I wanted to start this episode off with a huge thank you to everyone who has become an internet friend over the last few weeks. It has been so fun creating this podcast and finding out that not only are people listening, but they're also loving it. It's really surreal. So thank you. If you are enjoying this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe wherever you're listening. It helps a lot. We have a ton of interviews lined up, from Big Brother favorites to other reality TV show faves, and I'm really excited to share with you. This week is the week a lot of you have been waiting for. Big Brother 23 fan favorite Hannah Chadha is here, and she's telling us mostly everything. It was so cool of Chadha to not only agree to do this interview, but also want to meet up in person for it. We had a blast, and she's moving out to LA soon, with the details in this interview. So you can expect more hangs and maybe some cool content from us. Who knows? But until then, here is my interview with the Hannah Chadha. I'm Madison McGee, and this is On the Block, a podcast about Big Brother.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not sure how much you'd get from him, just because he likes to talk in circles.
Yeah, so he's the same as he was in the house.
To a lesser extent. I feel like he possesses a bit more humility outside of the house.
Okay.
But he still maintains that, like, me and Big D played interchangeable games.
Really?
He hasn't really backed down from anything. He's just very stubborn.
Yeah. Oh, my
He's
gosh.
He's very stubborn. And, again, I'm not here to be like, I played a better game than Big D. That's not really for me to judge. Like, that would have been up to the jury if Big D and I were sitting in Final Two. So I'm not even objectively speaking. But, like, Big D and I played different games. Therefore, we can't be interchangeable.
No.
That's not what interchangeable means. That's why at Roundtable, I was like, interchangeable only has one definition. And he was like, well, it's all about the context and blah, 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 blah. Kai, shut up. Don't tell me about context.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I thought maybe just based off of the vibe between what I'm seeing, it felt like, oh, maybe he's, like, gotten back on all of that stuff.
No.
But no.
But, I mean, for me, I don't need Kai's validation, so Kai and I are cool. He's my big brother. Everyone in the cookout I consider to be, like, my big brothers and sisters, just because we're bonded for life at this point. Now, would I, you know, go to Six Flags with him and spend a whole day with him? Probably not. But I love Kai. I love all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, well, while we're on that subject, mm-hmm. how do you feel about the comments about Big D?
Is an apology
needed from him? Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll get one?
I do feel like an apology is necessary from Big D. I'm not sure if Big D has taken accountability for the things that he said about Tiffany especially, but then Azza and myself, and Whitney, to some degree, but he should probably do that.
So he hasn't apologized to you?
So he's given me, like, a very blanket apology statement, almost like, if any of the things that I said in the house offended you, then I'm so sorry, but not apologizing for, like, any
specifics.
Exactly. Not apologizing for any of the specifics. And I can't speak on what he said to Azza and Tiffany, because I don't know. But yeah, to me, he hasn't really taken ownership of any of the specific things that he said about me and to me. Actually, I never felt like he said anything to me, but I know he was definitely talking behind my back, talking behind Tiff's back and Azza's back. But yeah, I do feel like that apology is necessary, because misogyny is never okay. Like, this season was so historic, and it was a trailblazing season, and I would hate for that to be tainted by, you know, some of the sexism and misogyny that occurred this season. And while Big D and Xavier and Kyland and any of the men can't really redo that, because all of that happened in the house a couple weeks ago, they can certainly reach out to us as individuals and even make a statement so that, you know, the public knows that we don't condone that.
Yeah.
And, you know, steps have been, like, taken to rectify that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it is interesting. It kind of highlights the idea of, like, one problem being solved doesn't solve all of the problems. Yes. And I think we notice that with, like, feminism in general. It's, like, feminism really benefits, like, white women.
Yes.
And so, yeah. You know, just because, okay, a black winner won this season, there's still other problems.
Yes.
That we have to face head on.
Yeah.
Especially in this Big Brother world, right? Where, okay, black people being treated badly is, like, a clear problem on the show. But yes. Now we're also seeing women aren't treated that well on this show.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought it was going to be Tiffany, then myself, then Azza. I was so convinced. I mean, Xavier, thank God, made the smartest move for his game and got rid of Kai, even though the guys did have something together. But, yeah, I was convinced that it was just going to be, like, the three women booted first. And then it was going to be a final three of Kai, Xavier, and Big D.
Yeah, I was so worried about that as well, and it was heartbreaking to watch, truly. I mean, even watching Xavier take Derek F to the end felt like such a dig at women, because...
It was just like a cop-out.
It was like, Azza had clearly, at the very least, won more competitions, and I've said this on now three podcasts, whoever wins that second part of the HOH, I feel... deserves a seat in the final two because they won their way to that final comp, and those are the two people who won the final HOH competitions.
Yes.
And the fact that Azza was there and not only got there but literally only got one question wrong,
yeah,
it's like, has she not proven that she deserves at least second place? And yeah, I talked to Tiff, and she was like, you know, Azza probably wouldn't have won next to Xavier. Mm-hmm. So what was he so afraid of? Like, why was he still at that point saying, I'm going to take Big D? Yeah. It's just very interesting.
I think, okay, so with Xavier and Azza sitting next to each other, in the house, you obviously don't know what the jury is thinking, what they're saying, what Tiff and I have told the jury about the cookout, what the jury doesn't know. Xavier and Azza weren't privy to any of that information while still being in the house. So maybe Xavier thought, okay, I guess Azza's like the lesser of two evils, because Azza played the most honest game out of the six of us. Like, she really tried not to lie. So maybe X thought, okay, if the jury's going to be bitter about the cookout, then they're going to be the most forgiving towards Azza. So maybe he thought that the votes could possibly, I don't know if he expected to lose next to Azza, but he probably didn't want to risk that. He probably didn't want to risk a 5-4 vote or even a 6-3 vote. Whereas with Big D, he probably figured it's going to be at least a 7-2 vote, if not unanimous. So taking Big D was the smartest decision for his game. If I were in Xavier's position and I wanted to win more than anything, that's probably what I would have done too. However, I would have loved to see Azza in the final two. One, because she's a black woman. And I did want to work with her and Tiffany. I wanted it to be us three. And when she expressed that she wasn't on board, then I was like, okay, I guess it has to be me, Kai, and Tiff until, you know, Kai turned his back on both Tiff and myself.
How heartbreaking to watch everyone you two tried to work with just say no, which was so weird to me because you were the strongest duo women players, in my opinion, in the house. It doesn't make sense, especially for someone like X who can hold his own, to say, I mean, that's what you want to see. I'm going to work with the strongest people in the house until it's just us, and then we duke it out. And we're all strong players, so it is anyone's game, and X shouldn't have felt threatened by that because he probably could have still beat you in some comp, so it would have been like, let's just get as far as we can and then, you know, go at it. But yeah, it was really weird to watch that happen, especially from someone who, I mean, from the outside looking in, and also someone who watches the game. You're the people you want to work with.
You would think. I think, okay, so Tiff and I never tried working with Big D. Oh. Sorry, just another reason why I wanted Azza to be in one of those final two seats was just so that, like, her getting me out of the game a couple weeks prior wasn't completely in vain. Like, I wanted that to mean something instead of her just being booted the next week or the week after. So that kind of sucked because, like, her taking me out didn't actually get her to the end. Whereas had she kept me and sent X home or sent Kai home, her and I could have probably been sitting in final two, if
Azza
not just
would
her.
Have won the game had she sent Xavier home.
Yes.
I think everyone on the internet, Twitter, BB Twitter, which is a whole nother universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so clear. You have not only just beat him in a one-to-one, like, mm-hmm. he's the last person left, you beat him.
Yes.
You literally have the power, and he doesn't have any sort of safety. Like, there's no opportunity for him to save himself.
Put Kai and X on the block next to each other.
Why?
Just to guarantee that one of them goes home. I would have voted with you, but I guess for her, she wanted to keep her deal with Kai because Kai kept her safe the previous week when Kai sent Tiff home. So she wanted to keep that, and then she had her final three with X and Big D, so I guess I was the only option left. But I also heard that she had been wanting to target me for a very, very, very long time, so I don't really know what to believe. But going back to your original question, I think Azza probably figured that Tiffany and I would have chosen each other over her at the end. So her trying to sandwich herself in there just wasn't, you know, the best strategy for her. And then Kai, I know, didn't trust Tiff and had this whole thing about wanting to beat the best in order to be the best. And he determined that that person was Xavier, even though Tiff was the best player this season.
100%.
Let's be real here. And then also with Xavier, Tiffany, and myself, because we did have a final three at one point, Tiffany saw that Xavier, it was Xavier's game to lose. So that's why Tiff wanted to go after him. And then X wanted to go after her, so that wouldn't have worked. So I guess people either didn't trust us or saw that, like, Tiffany and I were more loyal to each other than we would have ever been to them.
Yeah.
And that's why no one wanted to work with us.
Were there ever any moments, because we saw this a lot with Tiff, I feel like, where we saw her really struggle with the cookout? Do I just cut the cord? Do I keep it going?
Yeah.
There would still be a black winner if I cut the cord because it would be me. Like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Were you ever struggling with, fuck it, let's take Claire and DX and win this thing?
Honestly, no. I'm not going to lie and say that it wasn't hard, because, like, that week that we had to cut DX, probably the hardest moment of the game for me. Like, even harder than my own eviction. Just because I felt so guilty having to do that. I knew that that was, or at least I thought that that was his time to go, because he would have probably been the biggest obstacle to the six getting to six. So that was difficult for me. Cutting Claire, seeing Tiff have to put up her closest ally. Oh, I can't even imagine having to put up my closest ally outside of the cookout.
Brutal. Now, yes. Now that you bring that up, it's funny. I have so many questions that I didn't realize I had, because this season feels like forever ago now. Why? I mean, we were all wondering this. Why was that such a big deal that Tiffany won when there was still Alyssa left in the house?
Right.
Like, why? I mean, it seemed like the end of the world to Xavier and Kylan and Big D.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, so I definitely have comments about that. I mean, seeing Tiff having to nominate Claire, heartbreaking. Because Claire wasn't just Tiff's ally. Claire was probably my closest ally left outside of the cookout. And Alyssa, because Alyssa and I had a final too. That was hard. Me having to take out Alyssa, despite us having a final too, that was difficult. So it was always challenging. But for me, coming into the house, I knew what I wanted to happen this season. And I was determined to do whatever it took to get us to that point. So I was never like, should we just keep DX? Should we just keep Claire? It was more so like, wow, I've definitely become emotionally attached to these people. And it's hard to see them leave, especially because I'm directly responsible for sending them out the door. But this is just what needs to happen next. But I believe, the whole thing about Claire. So that was absolutely unfair to Tiffany. Tiffany won. And granted, we as a group determined that that probably wouldn't have been the best for her game, just because there was that possibility of her having to put up Claire. So we were like, Tiff and Xavier, because Xavier's person was Alyssa, maybe you just want to leave it to either Hannah, Azza, Kylan, or Big D. But Tiff still did exactly what she needed to do for the six. She still followed through. She put up Claire. Claire went home. So I feel like it was completely unfair for them to hold that against her. But my theory is that they always wanted to send her out at six. It was almost like, thank you for your service.
Now we have a reason.
Exactly. Yes, this just gives us a reason. I think they were definitely milking it. Because again, it's not like she, it's not like you were ever in danger because she won after, you know, Alyssa won the veto. So why are you so pressed about it? And after, I guess, after seeing how like the dynamics within the six really shifted after that week, it would have been easy for me to jump ship and just been like, you know, Xavier, Azza, Big D, I see that you guys have the numbers. I see that there's some like distrust between Kai and Tiff. Can I just work with you three and then we can have a final four and then we can duke it out from there? It would have been easy for me to do that, but I chose to stick by Tiff because Tiff was slighted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, like, this season was so different. If this was just a normal season, then, hey, it's the game of Big Brother. If you need to, like, formulate a reason to send someone home, then you go ahead and do that. But because the stakes were so much higher this season, I feel like Tiff was done dirty.
Yes, this season. Yes.
And I realized, I recognized that in the house, and that's why I chose to stick by her.
So and what did that look like, or I guess how quickly were you all able to just say, that's the game, here's real life, let's start fresh? Was it like you left the studio mm-hmm. and you were like, all right, we're all friends now? Or was it a process?
For me, I kind of a combination. So because I still haven't seen the whole season back, and I also haven't watched like all of the live feed clips that I've been tagged in, I don't have all the facts with me. So I feel like I can't have the most productive conversation until I'm back home in Chicago and I really have time to, like, soak in the season. And then I want to revisit those conversations with Kyland, Xavier, Big D, and even Azza. But we have had some, like, some brief preliminary talks about it. And I definitely haven't shied away from, like, okay, well, this hurt me or this upset me or just asking them simple questions like, why did you feel like this was good for your game? Why did you feel like you were entitled to say this about Tiffany? So I guess to answer your question, yes, it's been a process because I'm definitely not like a sweep under the rug kind of person. But we've, like, the six of us have gone through something so unique together. I mean, the 16 of us, but especially the six of us have gone through something so unique together. So they're my friends. All of them are my friends. They're all my family. They're my big brothers and sisters, and I love them to death. So it's going to continue to be a process to get here,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, it to get kind there. Of speaks to, like, that's family, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even with family, you have moments where it's like,
dysfunctional.
Oh, we're this so is, dysfunctional. Like, you did something really messed up, or, like, I think back to, like, my mom, or, like, any of those things, right? And it's like, there's a rebuilding mm-hmm. there, and yes. It's the same with
yes.
Even though you're not technically related, it's the mm-hmm. same concept of mm-hmm. rebuilding that family relationship and that
exactly.
bond. And yeah, that's really interesting.
And I think in order for us to get there, like, they would have to understand where they maybe messed up during the season, and I would hope that they would also point out where I messed up, because I'm certainly not perfect. So that's what I expect from them. And if, you know, you feel like I need an apology, then hopefully you can give me that apology. So that's kind of where I'm at. But I do intend on having a relationship with every single one of them after the show. And I can't speak for Tiff, Azza, Kai, X, or Big D, but that's just where I'm at.
Yeah. So what about everyone, the whole 16?
Like, everyone from the cast?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
you don't have to give names of people you don't want to speak to, but are you, like, would that be something you'd be interested in, is, like, maintaining a relationship with all 16?
Okay, well, I don't have much of a relationship with Travis, just because he was only in the house for 9 days, and he and I did not talk at all. But he's cool, I guess. He's funny. Frenchie, don't have much of a relationship with him either, because he left so soon. Whitney, I adore Whitney. Her and I were obviously close because we were both on Team Aces before she left.
It's actually funny. I don't think people realized how close you were until she left mm-hmm. and was such an advocate for you outside of the house.
Yeah.
I think I even so tweeted, sweet. Like, the respect I have for Whitney grew exponentially just by watching her support you so heavily.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet. And then Christian, I'd say that I'm probably the closest to Christian and Whitney, and I do intend on maintaining my friendships with them outside of the house. Travis and Frenchie were cool, but I would probably have to, like, meet up with them for us to build something, because we didn't get the chance to do that in the house. And then with Brent,
no thanks.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. That's I follow him on Instagram. He follows me. He'll, like, hype up my posts. But
that's a big win, I would say. Just to be able to be amicable in that way, I feel like is, you avoid so much drama just by simply following each other on Instagram, I feel like.
Right. What the heck? I remember people were like, oh my gosh, you're the only person that Brent doesn't follow. I was like, oh, well, damn. yeah, so he follows me, I follow him, and that's you know, the extent of where I want our relationship to be.
I think that's very fair.
Yes, yes. Oh my god, Brent.
Oh my god.
He was kind of funny in the house, though. Like yes. He had his moments where he was funny.
Yes.
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 I'm curious to see what were your guys's, or what were your first impressions of everyone, including myself?
Oh my gosh. I really would have to go back and listen. I think we loved Big D.
Okay.
I think based on the fact that he was so different for being a house guest.
Yeah.
You know,
big, gay, black, like had all of the things that like a Big Brother fan who wants diversity wants in a house guest. He seemed super cool. He's Joe Frazier's son. Like, it just was like, okay, this guy's gonna be awesome. I remember when Frenchie formed the Jokers, me being like, oh my god, this is my favorite team. And then it was like, oh, not anymore. But it was so funny because I think we really liked Big D. We loved Frenchie. I remember loving Frenchie. I'm like, maybe
like
I'm
the whole Joker scene.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but I remember loving him like pre-season. July 1st, we did our first. It was a day we were like ready to go. I was like, the minute they post the cast, we're reading through the bios and we're recording our first episode.
Oh, okay.
So I remember liking him. I remember liking Big D. I remember loving Tiff, kind of like just reading the mom part and being like, she's going to be the mom to everybody. That's going to get her really far, which it did. Sort of being like Mama Tiff and like having that vibe. So we really liked her.
I'm trying to think who
else stuck out. I mean, Whitney stuck out because she was from near us and had the look of being a girl from Happy Valley, Oregon. So we maybe commented on that. Which is why she probably didn't want to talk
about
it.
Yeah, I don't think she was on the higher end of...
No, she was not. Who else? I think we...
Or, like, who did you guys expect to go far based on their bios?
I definitely thought Tiff would go far. I definitely thought Big D would go far, which I wish I had never manifested that. Gosh, it's our fault. I really thought Frenchie would go far. Bless you. We had a friend. We did, like, a Big Brother bracket where we let people fill in, like, who they thought was going to win. And our one friend put Travis to win the whole
thing. Not Travis. Oh, no, not the first boot.
He was like, yeah, my bracket is totally done because all of them have Travis in it. But, yeah, I remember kind of liking those three a lot. I think I liked Azza.
Yeah, I heard Azza had, like, a really warm preseason reception.
I,
a lot of
my
were, like,
love for her
BB.
Literally went like this. Like, I loved her. I wanted her out. First cookout member, I wanted her to go. And then she won that HOH, and I was like, well, she's playing the game. And then, unfortunately, that didn't help. It was too late, I think, at that point. So, yeah, I kind of went like that with her. I went like this. I feel like there was an episode where I think it was like the second episode where someone was like, oh, I love Hannah. And I was like, yeah, I like her. And then it was like, I think the next episode was the thank you for flying BB Airlines.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, she's my favorite. Like, it was that for me. It was in iconic moment where I was like, anything she wasn't doing for me, she's absolutely doing now.
Talk about laying low for the first two
which
weeks.
I think is why I was like not a fan, because I was so used to that, like, drama, someone scream at someone do something.
Yeah,
but no, a lot of people were very commentary of you saying she's just, you can see her eyes,
yeah. just looking around. Mm-hmm. She's observing and she's watching and she knows what's going on. And yeah. that is exactly what was happening.
Besides the royal flush, but then Tiffany slipped up.
Okay, I'm so mad I didn't ask her about this.
Mm-hmm.
Big LOL.
Yes.
What was going through your head?
My mind? Okay, so let's see. For the first 2 weeks, I came in wanting to play, like, a super disloyal game. Like, I came in wanting to backstab, blindside, and betray my way to the very end.
You wanted a good speech.
Yes, exactly. Like, I wanted people to... But then, okay, on the flip side, I wanted to play up the whole, I'm the baby of this season. Gen Z, I'm the only house guest who's ever been born in the 2000s. I want you guys to feel like I am your little sister. Become emotionally attached to me. And guess what? I'm not going to be attached to any of you. It's going to be so easy for me to cut you. And then, you know, I walked in, saw five other black people. I don't think they showed this on the live feeds, but I went up to Tiff, Big D, and I think it might have been Azza. But I was like, there are six of us. This has never happened. This will probably never happen in the future. We have to work together. And I guess their mentality was like, okay, she's young. We don't really know how loyal she is to us. We don't know if she's going to run her mouth to Team Aces. So we're going to protect her, but we're going to keep her in the dark for now. But because I knew that I wanted to ride with them to the end, like I immediately knew what it had to be. I had to change my strategy. So I really had to lay low because I was thinking, okay, Travis just got evicted because people were like, he's not only a physical threat, but he's also very accomplished and highly intelligent at such a young age. That is literally me. So I was like, in order to not put a huge target on my back, I just have to, you know, mum's the word for the next couple weeks and just see what happens. Observe, figure out who I trust outside of the cookout, figure out who I don't trust, because I'm not just playing this game for one person. I'm playing this game for six people now. So that was kind of my thing for the first 2 weeks. And then the third week, Tiffany obviously came up with the master plan. Brilliant. Approached me with it. So then at that point, I finally felt like, okay, I'm in with them. Like, they trust me enough
to
tell me things.
We did see that, but it was interesting. We didn't see it that way. And I feel like episodes and feeds are sort of blurred in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But there was... It really felt like it was Azza who wanted to keep you out. I don't know if you've gotten that far or seen that, but it really felt like that. And that's why I'm thinking maybe it was the episode, because sometimes they cut stuff very out of context.
That's what I've heard.
That it felt like it was Azza who didn't want you in the cookout. Because I think there was a moment where I was like, are they thinking the cookout is five or are they thinking the cookout is six?
Yeah. That's interesting. That's what I have heard from cookout members and then also from like the live feeders, based on what they've tagged me in on Twitter. And to me, I don't really understand the whole like, oh, it's the five of us plus Hannah. I get that, you know, you don't trust if I'm going to turn around and run my mouth because of my age. I mean, you don't know how mature I am. You don't know anything about me. So that is a valid concern. I would have probably felt the same way about like a 16-year-old that walked into the house. But after, you know, I proved myself to them, after I proved my ability to keep my mouth shut and do absolutely nothing for a couple weeks, I feel like there was no reason for Azza to keep saying like the five of us plus Hannah. If this is about getting getting all the black people in the house to the very end in order to ensure that a black person wins this season, then why are you excluding one of the six black people in the house? To me, I don't really understand that. And I still am struggling to understand it. I don't know if for her it really just came down to an age thing, because I know she has a younger sister who's my age, so maybe she just like equated us, and maybe she was thinking like, oh, if my sister were in the house, I wouldn't tell her. I wouldn't share any information with her. I don't know if it was that. It was week four. So this was after I knew about the master plan. This was the week that I went up on the block. I knew that I was going up on the block because Whitney was the house's target. Now, I didn't know that Team Kings wanted me to go home. I knew that Sarah Beth wanted me to go home. I didn't know that Alyssa and Christian wanted me to go home,
too. That was... Have you seen that episode?
I have, yeah.
Oh, my God. Watching Sarah Beth go from so sweet and now, oh, my God, what is wrong with you? Why do you hate Hannah?
She was like, she was going hard for me. Well, I think for her, she probably felt like her and I were playing the very same similar game. Yeah, exactly. We were filling the same niche, but then you have all of these people in the Royal Flush Alliance who are willing to go to bat for me. Of course, she didn't know about the cookout. So you had like
Kai, she was definitely smart to pick you out, which we all were like, wow, she's really onto something here. Mm-hmm. But then we were also like, but we're really mad about it because we don't want Hannah to go.
I mean, it was not smart for her to be so gung-ho, because in an alliance of 8 people, you have no idea what who those people are working with outside of the alliance. Like, yeah, if you think that you 8 are the only ones who are working together, you're sadly mistaken. So I think that's where she messed up.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the whole thing about, like, Whitney and me. I figured that I was going to go on the block next to Whitney that week because I thought she was the target. And she ended up being the target. So I threw out Big D's name, I believe, to Christian, again, to kind of throw other people off the scent of the 6 of us working together. Yes. And Azza didn't seem to understand that. She was like, well, you threw out Big D's name. You wanted to target Big D. No, any one of us could have been sitting next to Whitney and we would have stayed because we had the numbers. But if I'm not saying Tiff's name or your name or Big D's name or X's name or Kai's name,
it throws...
People are going to know that the 6 of us are working together. So that was just me deflecting. Like, that was all strategic. That was all intentional. So I think maybe that had something to do with it as well. Maybe she felt like I was targeting cookout members when that I was just playing the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, to watch it back and hear, like, oh, the 5 of us plus Hannah, it's disheartening because I never... I knew that I was on a trial period, but once I was, you know, made aware of the master plan, I never felt like, okay, I'm the odd man out.
Which is wild to me, because if we look at statistics here, mm-hmm. you did more for the cookout than other members of the cookout. So for you to be sort of this add-on, it's weird to say that you're a plus one when you're the one actually putting in the work, winning the comps to get you farther.
Yeah, I mean, I think, one, the fact that I'm... Okay, well, the fact that, one, I wanted to be underestimated going into the house, that was probably part of it. Like, dumbing down my intelligence, and I don't know how successful that was, but I felt like I was maybe on 70% in the house versus, like, 100% Hannah's brain, or 100% of, like, my mental capacity. So that was part of it, but then also just the fact that I'm a young woman of color, a young Black woman. I think that warrants underestimation and invalidation in my everyday life, and I didn't really expect it to be different in the house. So I think me and Xavier could say the exact same thing. The same idea could come out of my mouth as his mouth, but Xavier's going to get the credit. People are going to respect him more just because he's older and he's a man.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of our unfortunate reality. But in terms of, like, my contributions to the cookout, which I don't think any of the guys really gave me credit for, I did win that veto to send SB home. I did win that final HOH, which solidified us as the 6. Tiff and I worked closely about running through literally 59 different scenarios with the master plan. Like, who needed to go when? With the high rollers room, I marched up into Kai's HOH room that first week, week 6, and I was like, okay, here's who needs to play, here's who needs to win, here's who needs to go on the block, here's who needs to go home. This is why you should target, because I knew he wasn't going to target Alyssa. I was pushing for Alyssa, but he had that final 2 with X. He didn't want to piss him off. So I was like, okay, if it's not going to be Alyssa, I don't want it to be Claire. So how can I kind of, like, divert the target to Brittany? Well, Brittany's BB Bucks. So there was that. And then the following week with DX, convincing him not to play in chopping block roulette, figuring out that Alyssa needed to be the only one to play to take Big D down, blah, 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 blah.
Poor Alyssa. I felt so bad for her because she was
so excited.
She was so excited to win that comp. Mm-hmm. And we were watching and we're like, you play it, you're the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Like every competition you've won is basically because you're the only
one. Poor Alyssa. No, she's a strong competitor though. Alyssa's my girl. But and then with Coin of Destiny being like, okay, Claire needs to be the only one who plays because this will render her ineligible the next week and blah,
yeah,
blah.
And that then, was genius.
And we also know that she can't, you know, go rogue and just throw up her own. She can't go rogue and throw up Xavier and Big D because we know that she's the only one who played. So we can kind of do some proactive damage control.
Yeah.
Like, that was me. Like, that's where I shined. And to hear the guys being like, yeah, Hannah didn't do anything. It was a bit insulting. I mean,
I am insulted and I'm not you. Yeah. So I can only imagine. It was very weird to watch just all of it unfold. Mm-hmm. Like, very proud that there was a black winner, but it did come with sort of this solace of, like, Christ, well, yeah. You know, it didn't feel as good as we thought it was going to feel at the beginning of the season when we were, like, very excited. And so it is really interesting.
But also, I didn't go around, or I'd like to think I didn't go around and I was like, oh, well, here's what I did this week. I was just kind of like, you know, Tiffany, you and I are going to collaborate. If we need to bring Kai in, then we bring Kai in. If we need to, like, run some ideas by X, we'll do that. But I was never like, oh, so hear ye.
Right.
I was never like that. It was more so like, okay, I need this person's input. Great. Let's take it and run with it. In fact, it's even better if they think that the idea came from them.
Yeah.
That's how you play the game. And then also with, like, the added dimension of me just being a young woman of color, a young black woman.
When you found out, well, I guess let's back up. Mm-hmm. You applied to be on the show. Mm-hmm. When? How did that happen? Yes. Did you go to a casting call? Did you do a video?
Yeah. Okay, so I started watching the show at the beginning of January, I want to say, because I got sick with COVID, unfortunately. My old coworker gave me COVID unknowingly. I know. A shame. But I obviously had to quarantine for 2 weeks and my bedroom had nothing to do. So my little sister was like, oh, check out Celebrity Big Brother because some of the Real Housewives are on that. It was Brandy and Candy.
Yes.
Oh, those names rhyme. Yeah, so I watched Celebrity BB and I was like instantly hooked. So then I started watching All Stars and I worked my way backwards. And with All Stars, I was like, oh my God, this show is life changing. This is phenomenal. And then I went back to like season 20 and 18 and 17 and 16. And I was like, oh my God, it just keeps getting better and better. So I would watch like 2 seasons a week. Yeah, I was running through episodes. And then my sister was like, oh, well, Hannah, you turned 21 like the week before the deadline. Why don't you just apply? And I was like, okay, yeah, because my sister, she's going to school for digital production, so she's very into, like, editing videos, and I was like, yeah, Simone, you can help me with all of that. Like, if any, I'm not going to hear back from them, so if anything, this is just, like, good practice for you. So she helped me with all my talking points. She filmed my video. She edited it. She wrote my application. She submitted it for me. I didn't really do anything, and then I ended up hearing a call back from them in March, and I was basically like, you've never had anyone like me on the show before because not only am I, you know, a math and science nerd, but I also have other interests. Like, I'm a dancer and I love fashion and I'm also social and I've always been like 3 years younger than all of my classmates. I'm kind of like a walking enigma, and that's why you need me, even though I'm not like the funniest person or the most bubbly or outgoing person. And yeah, I ended up hearing back from them and the rest was just history. And Big Brother is like my favorite show ever. Like, I, before going on the show, I was like, if you gave me the option of meeting like Davon or Drake, I would probably pick Davon. Wow. Yeah. And then I ended up meeting her last week.
Insane. Yes. So fun to watch.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's amazing. So when you were cast, I asked Tiffany the same question. Mm-hmm. In light of the past year and a half the world has experienced, were you thinking, I'm going to be the token black girl, or there might be more people that look like me?
Mm. That's interesting that you say that because, okay, so after I started watching the show, right before I applied, I found out that CBS implemented that 50% BIPOC policy. So if they hadn't done that, I would have never applied. Because, I mean, it's the same thing every season where the people of color just get sent home consecutively. Even in BB All-Stars, it was like 7 white people working together.
Yeah.
Literally all the white people in the house besides, like, Ian. Yeah. Anyway, enough on that. So I would have just felt very discouraged. So that policy kind of gave me the courage that I needed to apply. But then also, like, seeing Davon and Bailey's relationship on BB All-Stars also gave me that hope of, like, okay, maybe I will find my Davon. Maybe I'll find my Bailey in the house. So I definitely didn't expect there to be 6 of us, because I knew that there were going to be 8 BIPOC people. So I thought maybe, like, 3 to 4. And I still, like, in my casting interviews, I said I want there to be a black winner, even if it's not me. I mean, of course, I would like to be that person, but even if it's not me, that's what I would like to see happen this season. I think that would be historic. That would be monumental. So I was kind of surprised that they casted 6 of us, and I'm not sure. I mean, after the dysfunctionality of this season, I don't know if they're ever going to cast 6 of us again.
Yes.
But
it is interesting to watch. I actually got really sad there at the end, because I was like, ugh, we've had this cookout with this amazing alliance that has accomplished this amazing thing. They've worked, you know, together. And, like, the personalities aren't, they don't mesh that well.
No.
Like, you all aren't that similar. Like, you have this bond, but, like, the friendship, will it be, you know, you and Tiff with everyone? Probably not. And it kind of made me sad, because I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, Big D and Tiff really didn't get along that well. And, like, there were these weird dynamics in the personal relationships.
Yeah.
Game-wise, you were like, cool, we're getting here.
Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting to see, because the personalities were so different,
right,
that I don't know if it will ever work again. Because now it's sort of like, well, we've already had a black winner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had all 6 of you in the house next year,
mm,
those personal things might have gotten in the way of the mission, because, well, it's already happened before.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it could ever be repeated.
I don't think so. I think if anything, like, for all future black cast members, they'd have to at least, I mean, maybe they would want to work with the other black cast members, but they'd probably have to lie about it. They'd probably have to be like, this isn't, you know, the barbecue, this isn't the picnic, the Golden Corral, like, this isn't the cookout part 2. Trust me, we are not working together. There's already been one of us. There doesn't need to be another.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering if it does.
It's going to make it hard.
Put a target on.
Yes.
The back of every
absolutely
black.
Because
cast
I think other cast members are just going to assume that they're working together. And even if they aren't working together, that they have some sort of agreement.
Yeah.
So it's going to make things tough. And that's why I say that they probably will never cast 6 of us again. But I think the fact that there were so many of us, when none of us were expecting that, we were like, this is opportune. Like, we have to take advantage of the numbers that we have. Because Big Brother, when you break it down, is all about numbers.
Yeah.
It's all about
It's actually
votes.
Funny, of all people, well, Nick told me this, that Cody the Marine said it, which is funny because I would have never expected him to... He told me about what Cody said.
Oh, okay.
But I would have never expected Cody the Marine to be a supporter of the cookout, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Cody Nixon was a supporter of the cookout?
This is what he said.
Oh, okay.
He said, if I walked into the Big Brother house and I saw 6 Marines, of course I would want to work with them, because you want to work with people who have similarities to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, so I don't understand why people don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I... Great.
Yeah.
For saying that.
Yeah.
Shocking. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Very happy that you've had this reconciliation over the past however many years since you've been on the show.
Yeah.
But I was like, it makes sense. Like, it just makes sense to walk in not expecting it, see people who look like you, mm-hmm, and be like, yep, that's what I'm navigated towards.
Yeah.
Just because it makes sense, regardless of any mission, anything else. It just makes sense.
Exactly. And I mean, it's like 2 sides of the coin, because on one hand, yes, things are going to be a bit trickier for all future black cast members, or at least for the next couple seasons. But then on the flip side, I mean, seeing that 6 black people were able to get to final 6, like, that still hasn't really clicked in my mind yet.
Yeah. But it's also, imagine the narrative had you all not worked together. and, like, been against each other. Like, it would have been such a bad...
I'm not sure if any of us would have gotten to the end.
No.
Maybe Tiff, but I don't know. I really do not know. So I guess for, you know, all of the people at home who are watching, who were able to witness six black people make it to Final Six, hopefully they're like, okay, people like me can do this. Kind of, I guess my goal, my hope is that the people watching at home will have a similar revelation that I had when I saw Davon and Bailey on season 22. Like, okay, black women can do this. Black women can work together. And that's why I feel like I can win this game. So it's kind of like two sides of the coin. I'm not sure if that's the correct idiom, but yeah.
Yeah.
Double-edged sword. Yes.
No, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm hoping for a black female winner. Was really anticipating that this year, but
it could have been Tiff. It should have been Tiff, but
it was close to being Tiff. I mean, we were like at the final, like, here we go, like, there's six left, she's just gotta win.
I mean and Kai won that first HOH when we got down to six, and Tiffany and I were like
excited.
Kai must be smart enough to realize that he cannot and should not keep X in this game. And of course Kai had this like superhero Marvel complex.
I mean, we were like, it was so frustrating to watch. Mm-hmm. Because we were like, oh, I want to beat the best. You're playing Big Brother. You want to take the big D to the end, the Victoria to the end.
But also, who's to say that X is the best? I mean, X and I are incredibly close, and I'm not saying that he played a bad game, and I'm also, like, I'm not trying to be the gatekeeper of who played the best game within the cookout, but I guess for Kai, my question is, why did you feel like X was playing, you know, a much more superior game over everyone else in the cookout?
Yeah.
Why did you feel like X deserved to be sitting next to you?
I just feel like if you're going to start knocking out people who are not playing good games, Tiffany's your first person.
Right, and he said something about like representation and respectability, and in his interviews now he's going back on those statements, as he should, because again, who made you the gatekeeper to
determine the best representation?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, if we want to be honest here, it's probably not you, considering, you know, you made a lot of selfish decisions.
The exit, so you weren't in the house at this point.
No, they got rid of me.
But you heard about...
Yeah, we saw the clip at Roundtable. Yeah. DX and I were sitting next to each other like, oh my God, are they about to box? What's
like,
happening?
It was wildly uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I mean, we saw an interview where he sort of defended what he said, and that wasn't taken out of context. And I'm like, I don't know how... I'm like... You're right. We saw the whole thing. And in context, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to take it out of context to make it sound bad. Like,
it's bad.
Like, it's bad. And it's uncomfortable. And holy crap. Like, what happened?
Yeah, he claims that he was just referencing a conversation that he and X had inside the house about X's nephew. But... I don't know. I feel like you should never bring up other
people's. There were moments where I'm like, Kylan, do you know what game you're playing? Like, do you know where you are? Do you know what you're doing? Because you're in the Big Brother house and you got evicted because you won stuff. And if you sat next to X, especially with Azza and Big D left in the house, you're a threat. And that's the game. And that's like, it's just.
He believes that X also had that Marvel superhero complex. And Kai still believes to this day that X wanted to bring him to the end. X never wanted to bring him to the end. Never. You were too much of a threat. That's why X didn't want to sit next to Tiffany. With me, X's chances of winning would have been higher, but...
You still would have gotten votes.
Exactly. Definitely not a unanimous vote.
No.
Like, sitting 100% next to Azza and Big D in Final 3 was the best move for X's game. Kai doesn't believe that. Kai believes that he and X were on the same page, and I think that's why he brought up X's nephew, maybe to guilt trip him. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish.
Well, I'm like, at that point, you're walking out the door, bro. X can't be like, oh, whoops.
On live TV, too. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish with that conversation. Like I said, he claims that it was in reference to something that he and X had agreed upon in the house. But in my personal opinion, you never bring up anyone else's family members. And I guess Kai did that on numerous occasions. Like, when he was talking to the camera, he would bring up other people's
family members. I tried not to watch Kylan's live feeds because I was just like, oof.
Well, apparently he would bring up other people's family members. And to me, like, unless you're asking about their family members or unless you're, like, complimenting them, like, for example, with Xavier's parents, I think they did a wonderful job raising their son. That's appropriate. But to be like, oh, blah, 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 your nephew, you never bring up someone else's family members.
I mean, yeah, you really, like,
and how, a child too.
How hard is it when you're in there to, like, remember you're playing a game? Like, does it ever morph into, like, oh my God, this is just life? Like,
For me, no. For me, I felt like I had to disassociate from my life in order to become fully invested in the game. Like, I really became a character in that house. I became a college student studying fashion. I became a baby who was very codependent on, you know, my big brothers and sisters. That's not me at all outside of the house. I moved out of my parents' home when I was 13 years old. I've been, like, on my own since then. So for me, it was pretty easy to keep my head in the game. But I know with other people, they would have trouble conflating the two, like, their personal life outside of the game with the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, can't really speak on that. But for me, it was very much like, okay, game mode.
Yeah.
Hannah mode, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that totally.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a wild. It's a wild. What's the, I mean, you've had an interesting transition back into quote-unquote normal life because you're Patrick's still not home.
Yes.
What has that been like? I mean, you came out and it's like, this is, in my opinion, the most successful season of Big Brother.
Oh, really?
You have, you know, created a name for yourself. You come out of the house with a big following on Instagram and you're living at Todrick Hall's house. What is that like? I mean, is it like, oh my God, what's happened?
Absolutely. Before coming on the show, I wasn't on social media at all. I had one Instagram post from, like, when I was 18 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I, like, never went on social media. So all of this has been very overwhelming, but it's been, again, can't speak for other members of the cookout, except for, like, Tiffany and myself, but the reception has been super positive, and I'm just glad that people recognize how much she contributed to the cookout and how much she sacrificed her personal game for the benefit of getting the six to the six. And then also, like, with me, it's been really, I guess, just nice to hear that people, you know, recognize that I was playing the game. Everything that I did was intentional and strategic. And I wasn't just like, oh, let me just spend a summer here in the Big Brother house because I have nothing better to do. Yeah, so it's been really cool. Like, the reception has been positive for myself and Tiff. It's been cool. And then as a fan of the show myself, whenever I get approached, I'm like, okay, let's talk about the game. Like, what did you think about this person's move? What did you think about that person's move?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I mean, I'm a fan of the show reflecting on the season.
I mean, you met kind of an odd season, 21. It looked like a lot of 21ers were at Todrick's house.
Yeah.
Big LOL. But what is it like meeting, you know, like, Davon and Bailey? I mean, I guess even, you know, David, it looked like, was there.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it was, like, despite the season that they were on, it's still so cool as a super fan to be like, oh my God, you are David from 21 and 22. You're Sis from 21. And they've been nice as well. They've been kind. They've been, like, they've been more than willing to help or give me advice with anything that I need. But meeting Davon and Bailey, like, that's probably been the most surreal part of BB 23.5, as we like to call it. Davon and Bailey are my queens. They're my idols. In my opinion, they are legends. Especially Davon. Like, in season 22, they really laid the blueprint, and I can't even fathom what their experience was like in the house because it was really just them. Like, when Davon played in 17, it was just her. 18, just her. Well, she had Zakiya, but
18 was, I was just telling him, because he's only seen
what, 16, and this year, which are interesting seasons.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, how Davon sort of came back in 18 and was sort of like, I wasn't myself. I played up to the stereotype of like the angry black woman, and I'm here to be myself. Mm-hmm. And like, it was so cool to watch her like really fall in love with her in 18.
Yeah.
And like see her for her and like watch her be this like very sensitive, funny, still loud woman. It was like amazing.
Yeah.
And then to watch her have the opportunity to play with Bailey, it was
oh my God.
We've seen sort of these three phases of Davon. Yes. And I was just,
They really like, okay, so again, because of the template that Davon and Bailey and to some extent David laid out in season 22, that's why I came into the house like, okay, I'm not going to target, and because we didn't have the master plan at that point. We didn't know that we would be working together. It was more so like,
we're just not going to target each other.
I'm not going to target you. I'm not going to put you on the block, and I'm never going to vote you out. And we had that because of the template that, you know, Davon and Bailey laid out back in season 22, All-Stars last summer. So being able, plus like just the sisterhood that Davon and Bailey had established in the house, I was like, I want that. And I found that with Tiffany. And that's been like another super just cool part of the postseason, having people recognize like the genuine love and respect and adoration that I have for Tiffany and the love, respect and adoration that she has for me. Like it with her, yes, we had a game relationship. We were number one allies, but that's my big sister. Like Tiffany is the greatest gift that I've gotten from season 23 of Big Brother. She's my pride. She's my joy. She deserved to win this season. I wouldn't have won next to her, and I shouldn't have won next to her, but I still would have taken her to the end because she played the best game. So, yeah, just to be able to have that sisterhood with Tiffany has been amazing, and Davon and Bailey just really laid the foundation for that to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm forever indebted to those two, and meeting them has just been, oh my God, like the fact that I have their number and they have mine, I'm like,
crazy.
It's Davon and Bailey.
No, it's so, I remember I saw something on Twitter. It was like, oh, like Bailey DM'd me back and she said she's going to meet the cookout. And I was like, okay, I've got to like turn on my notifications for Bailey's posts. I want to watch her like show up. Like I want to see this happen because it's amazing. And yeah, I mean, watching her season was also just, it's just every year it's frustrating.
It's so frustrating.
Every year it's frustrating because you're just like, here we go again. Every time, you just know, here we go. I mean, honestly, even the one wonderful thing that came out of BB15 was Howard even being on the top three for America's Favorite Player.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, wait, really? America actually liked the black guy. Mm-hmm. He didn't win, but he was top three. And I mean, I was like, oh my God, I'll take it. I'll take that. Like, mm-hmm. that's actually very impressive for the season that we were given. But it's like, that doesn't happen a lot. And there's not a lot of wins for the black people on this show. And so, yeah, it was just really...
Well, hence I wouldn't have applied if not for, one, the 50% BIPOC policy. Because I'm also Asian American. I'm not just black. I wouldn't have applied if not for that policy that was implemented like last October. And then I wouldn't have applied if not for Davon and Bailey, because people like me just historically get picked off right away.
And like the trauma, like you honestly took a risk signing up to be on this show because it exudes trauma for the black contestants. I mean, I had a wonderful offline conversation with Kemi about why she didn't want to be on this podcast because she doesn't want to talk about it and she won't talk about it with anyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, I totally get that.
Yeah.
Because it is such a, like, to just go into a house with a bunch of white people and immediately be voted out is like...
Yeah, you feel very othered. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I really just can't even imagine what Davon and Bailey's experiences were in that house. Kemi as well, Dominique from season 19, Zakiya from season 18, and so on and so forth. So yeah, I I feel like I was lucky this season, even though I didn't win, even though Tiffany didn't win.
Ugh.
I still, right, she should have won. But I still feel like I was lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, see what happens when you give Black people the resources and the tools that they need to win.
Yes.
They're going to pull out a win.
And what's funny is you weren't even at that given a fair chance because there were only six of you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nick said that. He was like, people are saying this is reverse racism, but there were still 16 people in that house.
Also, reverse racism doesn't
exist. Isn't a thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was like, there were 16 people in the house. Mm-hmm. So really, when there's 8 white people, you're still not really given a fair chance, and you still made it to the end and won.
And I mean, what's funny is, like, Frenchie was the one who targeted Travis. Let's see. Christian was the one who targeted Whitney. DX was the one who targeted Christian. So it wasn't even us per se. But it wasn't even about, let's get the non-Black people out. I mean, that's what needed to happen in order to
ensure a Black woman. You let them go after each other.
Well, I mean, like, Kai took out Frenchie, X took out Brent, I took out Alyssa, so it's up for debate, but it wasn't even about, like, let's get the non-Black people out. It was more of, like, this is what needs to happen in order for one of us to win. The six of us need to be sitting in final six in order to maximize our chances of ensuring a Black winner. It was just all about maximizing the probability. Because it's a numbers game.
Well, and even then, if we're looking at historically, mm-hmm. if one white person had slipped through the cracks, they would have won the game.
Listen, Christian could have probably comped out.
Yeah.
HOH veto.
Yeah.
DX could have probably comped out. Alyssa could have comped out, you know.
Yeah, you couldn't let that even be an option.
Exactly. It really just came down to maximizing our chances and the probability of a Black person winning this season, which is all I wanted to happen, which is all any of us wanted to happen. So even though, you know, I came in fifth place,
That's a win. I mean, it's looking like at it from a Black woman's perspective,
mm-hmm.
how many of them have won fifth place, even gotten that far? It's not a lot.
I think Kalia came in sixth in season 13, and then
Daniel Reyes
came in second, and that's it. Just about it.
You're the farthest up until, I mean, it's just
with the exception of Azza and Daniel Reyes. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, that is a win. Yes. I think
best 21st birthday present.
Yes,
ever.
Yes, amazing.
Yeah, crazy. And for me to, like, be able to experience this at such a young age.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, that leads to what's next for you.
Okay, well, in the house, I was very adamant on, like, finishing my collegiate education, even though I graduated college a couple years ago. So I plan on finishing my master's in biomedical ethics and then going to medical school after. And in the meantime, because I'm not in school this semester, I had to take off for the show. I'll just be filming TikToks, you know, posting on Instagram, doing the bare minimum. No, not the bare minimum, but just kind of having fun with social media, seeing how far that can get me. But come next semester, I'm going to be rededicated to school and dance, which is all I want to do.
So you'll be in school in LA?
Yes. Yeah, I'll be moving to LA in January.
So is that new? Are you transferring, or were you already in school in LA?
No, I've been going to school in LA for the past year and a half, but because of COVID, I've never actually lived here.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. So I'll be moving out here in January. That was always the plan. And Tiff wants to move out here. DX may or may not want to move out here. Kai already lives out here. Claire may or may not want to move out here. We'll just have to see, but maybe I'll live with them. I would love to.
That's awesome.
They're my people.
That's amazing.
I adore each and every one of them.
So you've got one semester left.
No, I have two semesters left.
Two semesters left, yes. Okay.
I could have been done next
May. Oh, at the end of the year.
Because of the show.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then med school.
So I'm still very adamant on being a doctor. Like, even if they ask me, well, no, let's not even get into that. Hopefully they ask me back. I would love to come back. But if that gets in the way of me becoming a doctor, then I would have to say no.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's what I want to do. That's my passion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's amazing. Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll get some other content from you later down the road.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see what happens.
I'd love to come back as Dr. Chata. From Baby Chata or Chata Baby. That was my nickname
if
in the house.
If you and Dr. Will were on the same All-Star season.
No, I'm not worthy.
And who else? We need Brandon. We just need, what if every Brandon, doctor came back?
Oh, wow.
And then you were all in an alliance together.
Oh, not the doctors. We would literally just call
You'd
ourselves
be
the doctors. The doctors. Well, I don't know about that one because Will did not win a single competition in his first season.
But he won the game.
He did win the
that's
game.
That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. This was awesome. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.